Thanks for pressing play, and welcome to episode 200 of Legends and Losers. 200. And as always, we are sponsored by our good friends at Oracle NetSuite. Learn how to turbocharge your growth today at netsuite.com. This QuickBooks says, QuickBooks getting you down? Is it time to embrace the cloud? Do you want to run your entire business from your smartphone? You can do that and a whole lot more when you go and register for a free growth review with an expert in your industry. Set yourself up at netsuite.com/legends. Today, to celebrate the 200th episode of Legends and Losers, my guest is none other than Jamie J. Many people consider him to be the nicest man in podcasting. He is one of the co-founders with Sarah Parrish of Podcast Pilot, and Jamie and Sarah co-produce this podcast. He's also the founder of Bottleneck Virtual Assistants. And together on this episode, we play a game we haven't played for too long on Legends and Losers called Trading Legendary Stories. We talk about no judgment zones, why you should make friends with your uni, why beer and axes actually go together, and what business buzzwords we need to get rid of right now.
Hello, my legendary friends. This is Legends and Losers, the show for people who like to eavesdrop on killer dialogues, brilliant rants, and crazy diversions, straight up with a business twist. Hosted by Christopher Lockhead, former three-time CMO and co-author of Play Bigger, who has one of the most strategic minds in marketing, but could also hide his own Easter eggs. And now, strap yourselves in. It's time for Legends and Losers.
All right. Joey Ramone said, hey ho, let's go. Hello, my legendary friends. Episode 200. And here's what I most want to say about that. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. I had no idea when we started this journey that we would get to 200 episodes. And so the fact that we're here and the show's been a success and it's been fun and it's been a huge contribution to my life and I hope to yours is fantastic. Now, all that said, as you know, on Legends and Losers, we try to deliver content of real value, conversations worth sharing. This time, not so much. Jamie and I just tried to kick back and pick a bunch of fun stories and surprise each other with them and have a fun, funny, informative conversation that is mostly silly. So no special value on this, just a lot of fun celebrating episode 200 with some legendary stories. So here he is, Jamie J., co-producer of Legends and Losers, host of Stop Riding the Behind, one of my favorite podcasts, and he and I are going to play Trading Legendary Stories. All right, Jamie, episode 200.
Congratulations.
Boom. And they said it wasn't possible. So
that's a big milestone.
I feel like it is. And so, as you know, on Legends and Losers, we aspire to deliver something, you know, to capture lightning in a bottle, right? To have real conversations, to cut through the bullshit to get to the real shit, right? And hopefully to have a lot of fun along the way, but, you know, do something of substance, right? Except for on this episode right now, right? We're just going to have some fun trading ridiculous stories. And it probably is going to add no value to anybody's life, but there it is. All right, do you have an opening story or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I've got one that I thought would be kind of interesting. You know how the airlines now, you get those big business class tickets or whatever to fly over to Europe or wherever you want to go, and you can lay down, you can sit up, you got the big workstation, you can do all kinds of crazy stuff. Well,
You can chillax.
Yeah, so those 16-hour flights are actually relaxing. Well, Qantas Airlines now has a pillow menu to make first class even fancier. So you get to you get your choice of menu, like what kind of what, or you get your choice of pillows, like what kind of pillows pillow do you want to relax on? And I thought
what are the choices?
Well, It says here you can sleep inside Sheridan sheeting, including a duvet cover made from soft touch tinsel, 100% combed cotton
woven. What's soft touch tinsel? What does that even mean?
I have no idea, but tinsel. This is how they're
like,
selling
like Christmas tree fake tinsel? Like what's tinsel? That's the only tinsel I know.
I guess it's 100% combed cotton woven throw and a soft touch bolster cushion, according to Qantas.
I think we need to go with the bolster.
Yeah.
I always feel like I could use some bolstering.
So
all right.
Here's your choices. Pillows, lumbar pillows, pillowcases, and duvets, blankets, pajamas, and slippers will be available.
They're going to give me pajamas?
First business premium economy class passengers.
They're going to give me pajamas?
Yep.
Why do you want to wear pajamas on the plane? Like that sounds ridiculous for a grown man to be sleeping in pajamas on a plane. What if you have to get, you know, Jason Bourne the thing or something, right? What if I have to get into action? I don't know. It's just a little weird.
I just thought
I draw the line at like sweatpants or something.
Well, I draw. Yeah, I don't. I got to.
I don't
do
wear
you
sweatpants.
Have any crazy airplane stories?
Do you have any?
No, I've got a gross one. A lady was sitting on the seat next to me, and she had a big bouffandoo. And when we went to get up off the plane, she lifted her head, and a big grease spot was left on the plane.
Oh, no.
It was nasty. So it's hard for me to sit on planes.
Oh, yeah. Well, imagine if you're me and all you have is your head. You don't have any protection. You don't have a hair to protect you, but from the bouffant jizz or whatever it was. Ooze. Maybe it was bouffant ooze.
Yeah.
Okay, here, now that we're being horrible, here's a horrible one for you. You ready for this? I'm not making this up. This is from Fox News, July 23rd. Quote, nude man caught working out at Planet Fitness. Hold on, but it keeps going. Thought it was a, quote, judgment-free zone, end quote, police say. Okay, a guy who looks a lot like a young Unabomber, if you see the photo of him.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, Eric Stagno, 34, of Massachusetts, was arrested Sunday at a gym in Plastow, New Hampshire. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but whatever. After gym goers allegedly caught him exercising in the nude. The police captain added that Stagno was in a, quote, yoga-type pose when authorities arrived. How terrible would that be to be one of the authorities who were arriving, Jamie, when Stagno was in a, quote, yoga-type pose?
I need you to stop with the downward dog, sir.
Yeah. Stagno said, quote, he thought he was in a judgment-free zone, apparently referencing the gym's slogan. I wonder what their slogan is. Anyway, there you have it. Nude dude at the gym. Unabomber-y looking. Looks like he hasn't had a shower for a while.
What did he call it? Zone?
Judgment-free zone. Hey, I want to know, Jamie, is this a judgment-free zone here? Because I may do or say some wackadoo shit, and I want to know ahead of time that it's going to be fine for you with you. If I
can you define judgment free zone?
Work out in the nude. I want to be able to do that judgment free, man. Fruit Loops. All right, what else you got there, young Jamie?
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, you and I are having a good conversation, and we get to chat, and you have tons of great conversations. And it's nice, you know, we entrepreneurs, we may get lonely working at home sometimes, but I don't know that this would be my solution. Have you ever heard of Uni?
Uni?
Uni.
I think I like a Uni sushi, don't I?
It's no, not. So
what is it?
Go to this site. It's I Like Uni, and it's AI. And basically, you get to have a friend. And people go to Uni that are lonely, and they just have a friend, and they talk with this person. They carry on actual conversations.
Is it like what the hell? Wilson, remember? In Castaway, where he turns the soccer ball. Was it a soccer ball?
Yeah, it's a soccer ball.
Soccer ball, yeah. He turns the soccer ball into a person so that he can have somebody to fucking talk to, because otherwise he's going to go wackadoo. So is this an AI Wilson?
Very much so. It's called Uni. The first thing you see on the page is, "Welcome to my magic world. Let's chat, play, and read stories that relate to you. Have you ever wished there was someone who is fun to chat with and gives you comfort and strength? If so, I'm here for you." And
wow,
it's a screen, Uni world. You can make friends with unicorns and tigers and whales.
Yeah.
That are all AI.
I think I'm sorting this out in my head. I think this, well, what do you think? How do you think about it? What do you think? Do you think this is a good thing?
I think it's a terrible thing. I don't know.
Thing too.
That sucks, because if that's the only way you can have friends and relax and chat,
don't we have to be forced to get out, and like you got to be forced to ask the girl at the dance to dance, and like you got to go up to somebody and say,
"Hey, want to be down?
Want to be my friend?" Right? Like, don't we have to go through that shit? I mean, it's not necessarily fun all the time, but like, it's called learning how to be a human being. Now, I guess there are edge cases. So if you're like in some minuscule percent edge case where for whatever reason that's just not possible for you, you know, then maybe this thing's going to be cool. But let me say this. If this is anything other than use cases around a bunch of micro niches, that is to say it doesn't represent some meaningful part of the population and maybe it's helpful for them for whatever reason, then hey, maybe. But I think you're on the right track, though, Jamie. Like, in general, if this is, like, used by a person who otherwise would just have to get over their awkwardness or just – it's not even awkwardness. We're all awkward. That's the point.
Get out and experience life a little bit.
Yeah.
You can even dance. Like, you can dance with Uni.
Oh, isn't that special? Okay. I'm going to see your Uni. Oh, God. Did I say that out loud? That sounds terrible. Just for the record, the last thing I want to do is see your Uni. But terrible.
I know where you're going with that.
So terrible. Terrible. Stop listening to this podcast. Okay. Quote, this is from bizjournals.com, one of the great ones. bizjournals.com, quote, "Urban Axes, Baltimore's first axe throwing bar opens in Highlandtown this week." This is by Amanda Yeager, Baltimore reporter, Baltimore Business Journal, July 23rd, 2018. "A new bar in Highlandtown is ready to introduce Baltimoreans to axe throwing." I swear to God, I'm not making this up. It's a bar where people drink alcohol and throw axes. That's the idea.
Well, they've got a niche.
And listen, as a Canadian, this part just puts this just drives it to 11. Co-owner Krista Patton was inspired to start Urban Axes after attending a friend's birthday at an axe throwing facility in Canada, where the activity is already popular. Yeah. Axe throwing and beer drinking at the same time. Inspired by Canadians, of course.
So you're hoping that people aren't wearing flip-flops? I don't know.
Maybe they should be allowed to shoot guns too, because it's like, hey, if you got axes, let's have drunk shooting as well as drunk axing. See, what could go wrong? What could go wrong? Talk about a niche down. What could go wrong?
Who insures that?
Nationwide, I think, because they're on your side. They got to be on the right side of the guy with the axe.
Oh, I'm wondering if there's a uniform that you have to get, like steel-toed boots or...
Maybe you have to wear a Kevlar suit. And it's some kind of an incredible helmet.
What? Wait, no.
And like the helmet cage just
slipped
or something.
Out. It just slipped out on the...
You got to have a cage over your face. You're going to look like some gladiatorial, if that's even a word, hockey player. Right? Or some one of the characters in, you know, Road Warrior or something. It's drinking with axes. What could go wrong?
In public.
Yeah. Have your birthday party there, Jamie. With an open bar. Yeah.
Open
bar. See what happens. Maybe it's sort of like, you know, if you're with somebody in your life, whether it's a romantic somebody or maybe a work person or that you don't like, this is the perfect setup for pulling with Dick Cheney. It's just with an axe. I accidentally axed him. I accidentally.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah, I accidentally axed him.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So you get it? Are you? Is it in the middle of the bar like darts?
I don't know. It says they're gonna kick off with the Urban Open, a 2-day axe throwing contest that the company says is a first in the U.S.
Yeah. You got an
about
axe
120 people are expected to compete. And others are encouraged to attend as spectators, says Courtney Osgood, a spokeswoman for Urban Axes.
So that's a franchise.
It's 1,100. It's 11,000 square foot bar and axe throwing space. You can't make this shit up, man. All right, Jamie, what else you got?
I don't know how I topped that one. Have you ever heard of the millennial Walt Disney?
Oh, no, I have not.
Mary Ellis Bunn. She has a plan for all the storefronts technology left empty. Fill them with fantasy play spaces that look great on Instagram. She founded the Museum of Ice Cream in San Francisco, but it's not a museum. Rather, it's a sprawling warren of interactive and vaguely hallucinatory confection-themed exhibits.
What? Vaguely what?
It is a sprawling warren of interactive, vaguely hallucinatory confection.
What does hallucinatory mean?
Well, I'm assuming by looking at this picture, you may think you're hallucinating when you look at it.
Vaguely hallucinatory. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Exhibits, brightly colored rooms with flattering lighting that contain, among other things, a rock candy cave, a unicorn, a swimming pool of rainbow sprinkles, and now Instagram influencer infamous. It smells like fruit-flavored chemicals. And basically, I think this kind of what it is it's like an adult kind of playground for millennials.
But it sounds like it was invented by somebody on something. I mean,
well, they are in
this
San
place sounds as wackadoo as you could ever be.
It could be because it's been heavily documented by the likes of Katy Perry, Kim Kardashian, and Gwyneth Paltrow. And on Mother's Day, Jay-Z, Beyonce, and Blue Ivy were photographed lounging in the museum's sprinkle pool.
Well, there you go then. That's it. We got to go, Jamie. You and me. Pack your bags. I think we can get there. We should be able, where is this place?
It's in San Francisco.
It's in San Francisco. That's, well, shit, I can be
third
there.
Location.
I can be there in 2 hours. How quickly can you get there?
It might take a little while for me to make it out there. What is that thing that we were talking about? Zone of what?
The no judgment zone, man.
But it is pretty wild. I guess apparently you pay, you know, 10, 12 bucks. And you walk through this museum with all these different rooms and you can sit on a unicorn, take a picture.
Yeah, that's what I always wanted to do, sit on a unicorn.
I figured you might get a kick out of this one.
Okay, I got one for you. You ready for this one? Here's a niche down for you. This is the newest niche down I've heard of. This is from theoutline.com. Quote, the booming business of luxury chicken diapers. And then it,
what?
That's the headline. The booming business of luxury chicken diapers. And then the subhead says, it's Instagram's fault.
Oh, geez.
And it starts by saying, Julie Baker never intended to become a figurehead of the luxury chicken diaper industry before she launched her brand Pampered Poultry in 2010. She had never even heard of chicken diapers. And then it goes on to tell the story. But just from a pure category design perspective, never intended to become a figurehead of the luxury chicken diaper industry. Did you ever think, like, think about luxury chicken diaper industry?
No. But where else would you go?
Yeah. Yeah, and it says the diaper, so to speak, was used to catch chicken poop so the birds wouldn't leave droppings everywhere. Chickens do not urinate separately from defecation. Yeah, I could have told you that. It's all kind of mixed in one fucking thing. She says, quote, I'm like, oh my goodness, I so need to do that, Baker said.
So is this for people raising dinosaurs at their home?
Yeah, so she had a dinosaur named Abigail, and we have a dinosaur named Abigail. I call her Princess Abigail, but and they wanted the chicken in the house. So they, quote, began sewing Abigail diapers out of cotton fabric, and soon other poultry owners asked if Baker could make diapers for their chickens too. Baker, who was homeschooling her daughter at the time. Isn't that a shock, Jamie?
Yeah.
That the gal who invented the niche of super ding dong chicken diapers was homeschooling her daughter. But I digress. I have nothing against it, by the way. It's just, you know, it's just kind of a caricature, that's all.
Yeah.
They launched an online store and they began selling them at poultry shows, Jamie. Yeah.
And they're doing well.
Oh, they would also true to the chicken diehards who also like to enter their birds into pseudo relay races. So they dress them up in the diapers and then put them in relay races.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And
well, there's got to be a market. Even if it's 1/1000th of a hundredth of a percent.
She sells between 500 and 1,000 diapers a month at $18 a throw.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So there Jeez. It is.
You just never know.
Hey, man, as they say, there's riches in niches.
Holy cow. Yeah, that's a pretty incredible story.
They look kind of cute, too, but it doesn't feel very manly to me. But I have to say, I'd be less than candid if I didn't say they looked cute. I don't think our girls would like them. We tried to put our Abigail, in a dinosaur leash so that we could, like, you know, go out in the world with her. And, man, she did not
she
like
it. She wasn't having it.
Not having it. But we have taken Beatrice out in the world with us a couple times. Actually, my wife just did it recently. Where was she going? Shit.
Would you just carry it?
Yeah, she was going to our local market, you know, to pick up, I don't know, some groceries or maybe some burritos or whatever she was going to pick up. And Beatrice was being really sort of, you know, needy or whatever. And so she just said, ah, fuck it, and scooped her up and drove and walked into our corner market with everybody there with Beatrice in her arms.
What were people saying?
She got noticed and photographed. But everybody thought it was cool, man. You walk into any place. I walked into a store once with Beatrice, and like the owner of the store started crying. She thought she was so beautiful.
Aw.
Yeah. Yeah, but you That's will cool. be noticed. It's hard to be incognito.
I think that's fantastic. I love it.
It is fun.
Yeah, we've taken our pup into a couple stores, and apparently they're supposed to be a licensed dog or some
service
kind of
dog.
Service dog. And is that dog a service dog? Sure is. And then the one guy says, "Man, I just can't believe he doesn't bark. That's just amazing." We're like, "Yeah, us too."
Is he normally a barker?
Oh, he'll and usually when guys walk up, because I don't know why. Girls, he doesn't really bark that much. Guys, he starts barking. But yeah, he didn't bark at all that day. And we took him all over the grocery store.
Well, there you go. He was behaving. All right. You got another one?
Well, I have one that I don't know how this isn't really a story, but it's kind of like I would love to get your feedback on this, because I love how you talk about branding and what, you know, why branding really, what people's perception of branding isn't really branding. But there's things, some business buzzwords that I think deserve to die in 2018. and these are used quite a bit. And I'm wondering what your feedback would be. Here's a couple of them.
Okay.
Pivot.
Yes. And I know the guy who most people attribute that term to, or at least the sort of popularization of that term, is generally pointed back to Mike Maples. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I don't think he can stand it either.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, there'll be no more pivoting.
This one I don't know about. I don't hear it too often, but lean in.
Yeah, that one seems to have fizzled out already, but needs a little help.
Then unicorn.
Yep. Yeah, unicorn was over for me a couple years ago. It became, I don't know, just sort of was like a fart in an elevator.
Then this one kind of refuses to go. Disrupt.
Yeah, I never loved it. And I think it actually does a lot of us a big disservice in a lot of ways. You know, for example, when you're an entrepreneur and you say, "Hey, we're going to disrupt the XYZ industry." All of a sudden the XYZ industry goes, "Oh yeah? I shit bigger than you." And I've seen it happen, and it's terrifying. And so, you know, a frontal assault is a frontal assault. If you look at, for example, and he was on Legends and Losers, and he's in the new book, Tom Zaki, he's doing incredible things in what you could only really call garbage innovation. Mm. Or maybe there's other things you could call it too, but that's how I think about it. And sure. Rather than saying, "Hey, the old way is stupid and the old guys are stupid," he says, "Hey, there's got to be a way to reimagine this. And so we want to be the people to reimagine it. And then we want to bring them in." And that's what he's actually done. Insofar as in some countries, they own a part of his business. And so he's co-opting the industry as it is today to bring it forward in his vision, as opposed to, quote unquote, disrupting it. So we have to be very thoughtful. The languaging matters, right? And if you look at most of the legends, they didn't come from a disrupting place, although maybe that was fun. For somebody like me, that would be fun. But they come from a creating place. They're bringing something to life that they had to have in the world.
Well, you know what I think about it too, based on what you just said, is that may be the difference from being better to being different. Because I think, as you put it, disrupt may be kind of confrontational or argumentative, wherein, you know, better kind of leads to more of a disruptive, you know, relationship or argumentative or something like that, wherein if you talk about being different, now you're not really, I don't know if it's offending anybody, but.
Yeah, the Ramones were not disrupting hard rock, right? Elvis didn't disrupt Frank Sinatra.
Right? He was
that's
different.
Not, that's not what happened, right? For a long time, Airbnb wasn't disrupting hotels. I think now it probably is, but it was an act of creation that ultimately led to disruption. But it's the two don't always go together, I guess is my point. Mm-hmm. And I think, look, it's hard to know what's in people's minds, but when you study great, you know, people who have done things that have moved things forward in an exponential way, my conclusion, you know, is that's what they were pursuing. They were pursuing something that was taking new ground.
Mm.
And so, if you're stuck in the paradigm of the way that it is, it can make it hard to take new ground, right? So when you say we're disrupting the X, the reference point is the X. And what there might be to do, actually, is to have a whole other reference point.
Yeah.
Right? And so I just think the way the languaging matters, because a demarcation point in language creates a demarcation point in thinking, which ultimately creates a demarcation point in action and behavior. And so be careful before you use the D word.
Yeah, it is, like I said, it kind of refuses to go. Everyone is still using that. They still,
yeah. And it's,
you
it's
see starting, it in people's byline bios.
I think it also starts to get lazy, right? It's like the word solution is a lazy word. It's almost meaningless. And there's lots of things that sort of end up in business jargon that are meaningless. And listen, I'm not saying I haven't been guilty of using those words. Of course I have. But I think the more clearly we can speak, the more grounded we are, right? Why use filler words that are throwaway words?
Here's one.
Unless
solution.
They're swear words, of course.
Yeah. Solution.
Yeah. I've never,
you know what
liked
I think is
word.
Cool? I hate that word. And you won't find it on any of my websites anywhere. Because one thing that I like about it is whenever I think to say solution, I check myself and I try to think about another word that I could use that's more meaningful and identifies whatever it is I'm talking about, rather than just vague old solution. And everybody uses it. Well,
yeah,
I have a solution.
Well, the thing I love is, so you say solution, okay, so tell me about the problem. What? What's the problem? And I mean, there are many times I've said this, Jamie, where the person literally doesn't know what I'm asking them, because the word is such a throwaway word. It's like it doesn't mean anything. It's like how Canadians say "a." How's it going, "a"? It's just it's a throwaway word, solution. So you say, well, what's the problem? And they look at you like, what do you mean? No, you just said the blah blah yada yada solution. If there's a solution, there's by definition a problem. So what's the problem? And now they're stuck. And I'm not trying to play games or be a shithead or anything, but like, it is interesting. Yeah,
it really is. I think because what reminded me to say solution was you said the word lazy before, and I think that's just a lazy way of sharing information.
Yeah. All right, Jamie. Well, this has been a ton of fun. Anything else before we wrap?
No, I just, thanks for the updates, and I'm still trying to figure out and picture what the axe throwing place looks like.
Yeah. Maybe we should go have a few beers. Well, I want to thank you for producing Legends and Losers, and Sarah is incredible. And the whole team, and I really appreciate it.
Well, congratulations to you for keeping this thing going. It's flipping amazing. And you're getting more and more legendary fans, and I hear it all the time. It's just really cool. I just love what you're doing.
Yeah, who knew?
You did.
Well, I don't know that I knew, I knew it was a worthy experiment, and I wanted to do it anyway. because it was the podcast I wanted to listen to. But other than that, who, you know, but here we are.
Yeah. Congratulations. Seriously. That's awesome.
It's very cool. Well, Jamie, you and Sarah are a godsend. I can't thank you enough. Namaste. May your chakras always be aligned. Whew, there it is. Well, if there's someone in your life who you think would get a kick out of this, why not share it with them now? And your social media shares make a giant difference. So if you want to do anything to help us, do that. If you want to do a little extra to help us, we would love it if you gave us a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you experience podcasts. All right. We would like to thank Bottleneck Virtual Assistants, Jamie J's company. If it's time for you to get some help with your work, go to bottleneck.online and get yourself a brand new virtual assistant. My friends at onelifefullylived.org, dream, plan, and live your best life. Check them out today. Spiro, the sales app for salespeople who like to make money and sales managers who like to make money. Check out spiro.ai. Outposition.com, legendary marketing and category design in Singapore. Check them out, OUT-position.com. Scale, the legendary book by our friend on episode 88, Jeff Hoffman. Check it out wherever you get great books. Speaking of great things to read, GrowWire.com, the new property on the internet for entrepreneurs and anybody who wants to grow their mind, their business, themselves. Check out GrowWire.com. And the amazing folks at Atranet. This is the company that makes your website better than your company's best spokesperson. If you want to build a corporate website that kicks some serious butt, check out atre.net, Atranet, and the incredible people at Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières. They're making a difference in many of the toughest places on planet Earth, and they need your help. Check out doctorswithoutborders.org. All right. We need to remind you that this oddcast is the sole property of the Legends and Losers Oddcast Network, and we would love you just a little bit extra if you shared the shit out of it. All rights do remain disturbed. This oddcast was clearly produced in a studio that does contain nuts, and Legends and Losers is never tested on GMOs, but may contain forward-looking statements, backward-looking statements, present-moment-looking statements, and completely preposterous statements. Listen to Johnny Cash. The Tragically Hip were right. Don't be lame. Get out of the passing lane. Remember to only buy pasture-raised free-range eggs. And as David Lee Roth said, hey, man, that suit is you. Thank you, Dandy Candy. I love you, Mom and Dad. Hey, Colin, this oddcast really ties the room together, doesn't it? Today, our deepest apologies go out to Marcus Rust, CEO of GoodEgg.com. Sorry, Marky. We just ran out of time for you. That's it. Thank you so much for investing your life on this fun and silly 200th episode of Legends and Losers. We're out of here, and we'll see you again soon.